at Premier High School.
We are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal.
Mark 14. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him,
Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?
And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them,
Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And whatsoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us.
And his disciples went forth and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said,
Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me.
And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one,
Is it I?
And another said,
Is it I?
And he answered and said unto them,
It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born.
And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed and brake it, and gave to them and said,
Take, eat. This is my body.
And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them,
This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God.
And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them,
All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee.
But Peter said unto him,
Although all should be offended, yet will not I.
And Jesus saith unto him,
Verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice.
But he spake the more vehemently,
If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise.
Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples,
Sit ye here, while I shall pray.
And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them,
My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch.
And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said,
Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt.
And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter,
Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak.
And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them,
Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand.
And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying,
Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him, and lead him away safely.
And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith,
Master, Master,
and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them,
Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled.
And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain, and bear false witness against him, saying,
We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.
But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying,
Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?
But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him,
Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?
And Jesus said,
I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith,
What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?
And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him,
Prophesy!
And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said,
And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth.
But he denied, saying,
I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest.
And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by,
This is one of them.
And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter,
Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto.
But he began to curse and to swear, saying,
I know not this man of whom ye speak.
And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him,
Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice.
And when he thought thereon, he wept.
Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, help these sheep that are listening to the sound of my voice. Oh, Lord. First of all, I bind every spirit that would try and come against this exhortation and authority of Jesus Christ and commanded to be silent and depart. But Father, I just pray that anybody who's listening to me takes this warning seriously and just with a pure heart just starts doing this and starts preparing themselves. Just pray from the bottom of my heart, Father, that they just listen and do, that they take this warning very serious for the sake of themselves, the sakes of their families and their loved ones. and they start to do this, they start to obey your Holy Spirit, start to prepare, start to really take it seriously, and get ready for what's coming. I pray for them. I pray for myself, that all of us endure all the way until the end, and that we enter your kingdom for all eternity. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so preparing for the rise of the Antichrist, I pray to God that anybody who's listening to me takes this very seriously. It's not something we just read about in books and think about from time to time and discuss with other believers. It's a very real and serious eternal issue that is not a game. It's extremely serious. It is the most difficult temptation that ever came upon the world, ever in the history of the whole world. It is very serious. And we must be prepared to see it in our lifetime, because things are moving extremely rapidly. We do not want to be caught off guard with this thing. It's very serious. And we need to get ready for it. Okay? Jesus warned us over and over and over again. Okay? He said, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And he warns us against being asleep. Okay? We have to get ready. Like, there is nothing more important in our entire lives that we will ever face. I'm talking about jobs, marriages, families, house payments, car payments, all this crazy. This, trust me, nothing is more important than this. Being prepared for this, okay? And we can prepare, and we need to prepare, because when we look in the garden of Mark 14, okay, Jesus was preparing when it looked like nothing was happening. Remember, in the boat, okay, when there was a storm, and it was like, looked like they were going to drown, right? And they come to Jesus and say, Master, don't you care that we perish? Okay, he was asleep. Jesus Christ was asleep. He wasn't concerned about it. It wasn't a big deal. It was a carnal issue, right? He knew they were going to be okay. It was just something that scared them in the flesh, but he wasn't afraid of any storm, okay? But we look at the garden prior to the kingdom of darkness taking Jesus to crucify him, and he is praying to the point of sweating blood when everything looked fine. Even the apostles were falling asleep, right? To the naked eye, it looked like nothing was coming. But Jesus knew the most difficult temptation and suffering that he was about to endure in his life here on earth was approaching, the point of his existence, pretty much, right? That's what he came to do, was to die on the cross. This is us right now. I won't mince words with you, okay? This last generation, the point of our existence, is to get through the temptation of the beast system. We all have other individual calls upon our life, but that is where we are. And right now, we are in the garden. Everything looks fine. People think nothing is happening. But I know that if anybody's even listening to me, odds are the Holy Ghost is telling you to get ready. There is a great storm coming. A great temptation. A great time of persecution, suffering, temptation. Okay? Because do not be deceived. Jesus Christ was God and man. He overcame the cross by the Spirit. Okay? He really suffered. We need to be aware of this. Because the option was for him, there was an option there. He obviously would never take it because, you know, he's our Savior. but to not drink of the cup. He did it of his own free will. He said, nobody takes my life, I lay it down. What that means is he could have decided I'm not dying on that cross, and all of us would have been damned for all eternity. So we need to be Christ-like and follow his example and understand that if God, Jesus Christ in the flesh, prayed until the point of sweating blood prior to his trial, the most important trial of his life here, his 33 years here on earth, we must take heed and listen and not think we could just walk into this thing, walk into the rise of the beast system, which scripture says is the most, the biggest temptation that ever came upon the whole world, and we'll be fine. No, we need to take it serious. We need to start praying right now, fasting right now, daily praying right now, daily fasting right now. Just here and there, take it seriously in your spirit. You can do little things. You're going to eat, let's say, at 3 o'clock, that's your, you know, lunchtime or something. Kick it back to 3:10. Just 10 minutes. Let yourself have a little bit of hunger and pray and fast. Lord, help me. I pray to overcome what's coming. Start taking it seriously. Okay? This is what Jesus did. He said, at the Last Supper, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I sit in the kingdom. Okay? We just have to start exercising all of our resources, our prayer, our fasting. Listen, we can't underestimate the power of prayer. He said to Peter in the garden, he says, pray lest you fall into temptation. He already warned him that he's going to fall into temptation at the Last Supper. He said, you're going to deny me. And then in the garden, he said, stay awake and pray so that you can overcome temptation. He already knew that he wouldn't, but he still warned him so that we all could learn from this. And then what happened? Peter fell. Okay, he denied the Lord 3 times and even started cursing and everything because he had confidence in his flesh, saying, oh, I will never deny thee. There's a lot of Christians right now running around, I would never take the mark of the beast. Foolish, excuse me, I don't mean to beat people up. Foolish, don't have any confidence in the flesh upon this thing. Because the same people that are saying, I would never take the mark of the beast, can't even endure a day-long fast. They can't even resist the temptation to tell somebody off when they, you know, say something to them the wrong way. They can't even resist the temptation and just turn the other cheek. Right? They can't resist the temptation to gossip. They can't. You can see that they struggle with sin in their daily lives, but yet they think the most difficult temptation that ever came across the entire world, they could just overcome. Foolish. Don't be foolish. Be wise. Scripture says wisdom is calling, right? She says, come, sup with me. It's Proverbs. And eat. Wisdom is calling us right now. Just listen to her, okay? Let us prepare. Let's not have any confidence in the flesh. As a matter of fact, let's believe 100% that our flesh will perish and go in the opposite direction. Let's 100% receive what Jesus said, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So let us overcome by the spirit by praying and strengthening the inner man right now, knowing that the flesh will fail, but the spirit will overcome. So we pray in the spirit, daily. I pray to overcome. I pray to overcome. I pray to overcome. Please heed my warning. Anybody that's listening to me, I love you. Upon my heart, we need to take it seriously. We need to start praying right now to overcome what is on its way. We need to pray right now to be victorious. We need to pray right now, like Jesus warned us, lead us not into temptation. Lord, help us to overcome. Help us. There's nothing more important for this last generation to pray for than to be prepared for the rise of the Antichrist. We have no idea. We don't understand how serious the temptation is that's coming. The temptation to abandon it, abandon the faith, take the mark. We want to endure all the way until the end, until our heart stops beating and we are facing the most difficult temptation that ever fell upon the face of the earth, to quit. The faith. Do not be deceived. Revelation clearly says you take the mark of the beast, you go to hell. There's no mincing words about that. There are preachers preaching right now that you could take the mark of the beast to have forgiveness. The Bible warns you otherwise. Don't listen to anybody other than the scriptures. It says clearly. This is Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. He says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever so receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So he's clearly warning us, we don't take the mark of the beast, you go to hell. Okay, be prepared to die rather than take the mark of the beast. Okay, this is serious stuff. This is eternity we're talking about. And I just see so many Christians that are like stressed out about stuff that are going on right now. They're stressed out about storms, right? They're stressed out about the storms on the boat, the waves and rain and things like that, right? Like the disciples were when Jesus was asleep on the boat. The Holy Ghost is not, he cares about our day-to-day things. I'm not saying that he isn't, but he's not concerned with that because it's not eternal. It's not as serious as we think it is. And just like Jesus was asleep during that storm and woke up and said, ye little faith, and just rebuked it, he will overcome it. It's not a big deal. What is a big deal? Let's look at the life of Jesus Christ, what he was praying for until the point of sweating blood. The storm that nobody sees coming. That was a quiet night in the garden. Nothing was going on. It was so quiet the apostles fell asleep. But he knew prophetically, like we do because we have our scriptures and the Holy Ghost is warning us, looking down the road, there is a major storm coming. A serious storm coming, and we need to be ready. So let us take a warning. Let us take heed to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did, and be praying with all our hearts, our minds, bodies, and souls right now when everything looks fine to everyone else. But we know, and we're heeding the warning, that there is a serious storm coming, serious, with extreme persecution, suffering, hardship, temptation, and we need to be ready for it, strong and ready to meet it, just like Jesus did. What do you do when the Pharisees came looking for him? He said, here I am. Scripture says they fell back. He was not afraid. He did not run. He stood firm. And let me make something really clear, because a lot of times people say, well, Jesus, this and Jesus. No, Jesus was showing us how it's done. Okay? Everything he did, he expects us to follow suit. Okay? Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay? We will overcome just like he did. He was teaching us. That's why he had disciples that wrote all this down so that they could teach us. He taught the disciples. They wrote it down so we could be taught by the Holy Spirit and the scriptures. Please do not receive any cop-outs from your flesh. We must look at Christ and follow him and do what he did. He overcame by prayer that night. He overcame by prayer. We can pray right now. There may be things that the Lord will have us do. Sins will have us lay down. Things will have us make war against, you know, with time. And he'll reveal to us. But it all starts in prayer. We need to start praying right now. Take it seriously. Pray for yourself. Take it seriously. Pray for your family. Take it seriously. Pray for your friends, your loved ones. Take it seriously. Start praying right now to endure what's coming. The kingdom of darkness knows what's coming. They're getting ready for it. They're prepared. Are we? Let us pray. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have right now within us the Holy Ghost that will get us through everything. And we need to listen to him. He's calling us into prayer right now. Let's listen throughout your day, constant prayer. Just, Lord, help me to overcome. Lord, help me to overcome. Don't be afraid. I'm not talking about fear. I'm talking about getting it. I'm talking about taking it seriously and not being asleep and not being foolish and having confidence in our flesh, thinking that we'll overcome just like Peter did because he fell. He fell specifically so that we could learn from him. The Lord allowed that to happen so we could take heed and we can see, okay, Jesus warned him to pray in the garden. He didn't. He fell asleep. He fell. Let's do the opposite. We're in the garden. Things are quiet. Nobody sees anything coming, but we know there's a storm coming. Let us pray. Just here and there, shoot up prayers throughout your day, fast. Here and there, Lord, I pray to overcome. Help me stand firm until the end. Nothing is more important than holding your faith all the way until the end. Nothing is more important than that. Trust me. Your finances, your marriage, all these things, okay? Your job, these things that people worry about, these are carnal storms on the boat. Jesus cares about them. I'm not saying that he doesn't, but he just wakes up and overcomes it. See, this here is an eternal issue of free will that we need to take serious. Okay? Nothing's more important than this. Start praying right now. Getting ready right now.
I had been asking the Lord to explain to me the young boy that they grab him and he runs away naked for a while. And the Holy Spirit finally, you know, answered that prayer and explained it to me. And what he said was, it's a warning. Many Christians are children, little boys, little girls, right, in the faith. I'm not talking about the good kind, right, where Jesus says you must be like one of these, and he points to a child to inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about like that. I'm talking about being the type of immature Christian that Hebrews warns against, right, where he says you should be eating meat at this time, but still I have to feed you milk, you know, like baby food, right? You're still young in the faith. This is, you know, what the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he says, when I was a child, you know, I did childish things, but when it became time to be a man, I put away childish things. And a lot of us here in, you know, the United States are like this. We, you know, we can see it, you know, just children in the faith, like grown, you know, men and women, you know, where it'd be time now already for them to be teaching even the younger generation, but they're like babes, you know, children, and it's just spiritually immature, you know. And I know this from, you know, just walking with the Holy Ghost. And let me make something clear. I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but we need to grow up. We need to, okay? We should desire to be a, you know, adult of full stature in the faith, grown women. You know, we want to resemble our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where when they came to get him in the garden, he stood up and answered them, you know what I mean? And they fell back. We don't want to be children like this little boy that was given to the spirit of fear and fled and run naked, you know? And it's a free will issue, okay? It's a free will issue. One of the ways to avoid staying young, okay, is to always look at yourself, okay? I see this with people when they like to talk about the plank in other people's eyes and meanwhile not removing the log that's in their own eye, okay? The speck, scripture says. Basically, a small piece of wood from your brother or sister's eyes, right? Meanwhile, you got a big log, a big piece of wood in your own eye, right? Hypocrisy, like not looking at yourself. I see this with people. I try and talk to them about stuff and then boom, they shift it to someone else and start, oh yeah, that person over there. Or you can see when they're reading their scriptures, it's just boom. The Lord's trying to deal with them with that conviction, but that pride just boom, deflects it off to someone else. Be guarded against this, because this is the way, this is one of the tactics Satan uses to keep Christians young. Okay. I'm not, you know, saying anything that I don't do myself. Okay. Every single time the Lord brings about a conviction, okay, or correction, I always run it past myself. Even if he's, you know, cause at this point, you know, he talks to me about other people. Okay. For this, not because to beat them up or anything, but because they need help. You know what I mean? And he wants me to work, you know, with them and help them grow. Okay. But I still run it past myself. Lord, am I doing that? You know, reveal that to me. Every single thing that the Lord talks to me about, I always, boom, run it past myself first before I even talk to someone else about, you know, where they're in error or how they need to change something. I always make sure that I'm not practicing it first. And this is a really great way to grow up. Receiving correction, right? Okay, think about children that are mature versus immature, right? The ones that are mature receive correction. They come and they know what they've done, and they're sorry for it, and they're mature. You know what I mean? And so we need to be this way. We need to not. It's very comfortable focusing on other people's faults and being blind to ours, but that's a way to stay a babe. Very immature, not knowing anything. Okay, so we got to run things past ourselves and make sure we're not children. Okay, that's a really great way to grow up, is to let the Lord change you and correct you, because you'll grow from it. And not focus on others, you know, before. You can help others. I'm not saying that we don't, but make sure you're not doing the very thing. Every single time, it's a good practice. Every single time the Holy Spirit brings about correction, run it past yourself first before you look at anybody else. Make sure you're not doing it. Let the Holy Spirit reveal it. And then just offering yourself, Lord, help me to grow up. You know, being willfully, just deciding willfully to grow up, you know, wanting, desiring to, not, you know, fumbling. And I mean, we all have to like grow, and a righteous man does fall sometimes, get back up. And I understand it is sometimes a process with certain things, but not having the mindset of like a sluggard, you know what I mean? In your faith, not willing to work at things and not having an eager heart to grow, like be eager in your heart to grow. Okay. This is how we grow up. It's just using our free will, saying, Lord, I want to grow. Help me just finish this trial and get it over with so I can move on to something else. You know what I mean? Just having a mindset that this is all a process. You know what I mean? And the faster that you learn, the faster you receive correction, the faster that you get through trials, the faster that you learn whatever the Lord is trying to teach you, the faster you can move on. Okay, because I see this with Christians where it's like there is stuff going on in the Lord. Like, I, Ramona, want to talk to people about this stuff. You know what I mean? And the Lord's like, you can't. They're not ready. They're still on baby food. And I'm telling you, and it's just like so disappointing. He's like, they won't understand it. They're still struggling at do not sin. They still don't know if they're sure about that yet. Okay, the most basic thing Jesus said when he started his ministry was repent, right? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Okay, I go and talk to people, and they're still at you know, square one, you know, and they've been saved for like years. Do you know what I mean? And they're still debating over whether or not repentance is necessary, you know, or just struggling at having just basic levels of faith. And it's not because of anything other than free will. You know, people are talking to them, scriptures say so, but they just don't want to hear it. They're being hard-headed and stubborn, you know? And so this is, we want to be mature. We want to be mature. Once again, I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but the reason why is because if the conviction of the Holy Ghost is upon you right now, as I'm talking about this, then it's fine. Great. Wonderful. Right? Just use your free will to let the Lord fix that in you. Just keep offering it to him. Just keep giving it to him. Okay. That's all it is. It just takes your free will. Just keep going and giving it to him. Say, Lord, help me. I'm super immature. Lord, help me. I'm super hard-headed. Lord, help me. I'm whatever it is that's hindering your growth. Okay. Because the thing is that there is a progression to these things. Okay. It talks about this in Hebrews. He says, you know, that you have to understand that, you know, that let's move on from the basic things, right? The basic doctrines to higher things, right? Raising of the dead and so on and so forth. Okay. He says this in Hebrews, same thing with Jeremiah. He says, you know, if you can't, you know, run, right? If you can't work with the Jews now, how are you going to run with the horses later? There's progression. Okay. And I see this Christians coming to me. Okay. Wanting to understand the deep things, the deep mysteries of the book of Revelation, so on and so forth. But meanwhile, they can't even control their own tongue, right? They're not even practicing forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit is not, these basic things have to get addressed before you can move on to the other things, okay? And so once again, I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but we need to have this, we need to have a heart and a mind. Okay, this is part of preparing. Okay, and all this happens in prayer. A heart and a mind to be mature. Okay, because with this little boy, what happened is the Holy Spirit, who is so, I'm like, praise God, you know, because I wondered that for a long time. It didn't make any sense to me. It sounded random to me. You know what I mean? This little boy. But I said a lot of people in the church are like this, little children, immature. And then what happens is they're given to the spirit of fear. When the cross comes, boom, they flee now. They flee away naked. Okay? And the thing is that we all have our cross to bear daily. Okay? But this last generation has got a massive cross to bear. Okay? I'm not going to mince words with you. It talks about this in Daniel, that many will be made white, okay, through suffering, okay? They will be tried, all right? We're just talking about suffering. Many martyrs in the last generation, okay? Odds are it's possible that if you think you're going to be martyred, that the Holy Ghost has already told you this and already talked to you about it, okay? And then those who don't get martyred have got to endure patiently in faith through seeing all these things and not be handed over to a spirit of confusion when they see their brothers and sisters die, right? Wondering if they are believing in the wrong thing. So either way, it's not an easy road that's ahead, okay? We need to receive everything the Holy Spirit wants to give us and be mature and let Him grow us for what's coming, okay? Because He says here in the book of Revelation, He says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." This little boy is a prophetic warning to the end times church. Once again, we all have our cross to bear daily. Jesus says, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." And we got a big cross ahead of us. Okay? Calvary's ahead of us. And you're going to see immature Christians who would not listen to the Holy Spirit flee, given to the spirit of fear, running naked when the time comes, just like this little boy. We don't want to be children. We want to be grown women in the faith. Just like our Lord and Savior, prepared to meet what's coming with an answer and saying, "Here I am," just like Jesus did. And they fell back. Okay.
Okay, so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, Father, I ask along with my sisters that you make what's coming real and that you help us to just obey your Holy Spirit and just help us not to be afraid, but to start understanding the gravity and seriousness of what's approaching. We ask you to renew our minds and just change the way that we see things so that we understand that only eternal matters are what really matter at the end of the day. Help us to be like you. Help us to see eternity. Lord, help us to see eternity. Help us to focus on what you're focused on. Help us to understand that as we focus on eternity, everything that we're struggling with right now, help us understand that that is freedom. We ask you to renew our minds and set us free from the captivity of this fallen world so we can see that the things that are going on right now, how just temporary they are and how small they are to you. And that's why your response to the disciples on the boat was, "Ye little faith." Help us really, Father, just gain an eternal perspective, to keep it, to see it, to set it at the forefront of our minds, and just walk towards eternity every day. Help us to see the new Jerusalem right before our eyes as we walk towards it, knowing that that's all that matters and that everything here under this fallen world can be just done away with in a moment and it's nothing to worry about. But that this, what's coming, the storm that's on its way, is where our hearts need to be, our focus needs to be in doing what we are able right now to prepare and pray like you warned Peter in the garden. Help us to listen. Help us to do that. Help us to pray. Help us to heed the warning that you gave Peter. Bless us with wisdom and understanding to take this serious. We ask that you help us, Lord, to love you with all our mind, bodies, and souls. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 57. To the chief musician, Altasketh, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth.
At Premier High School, we are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal